God has some things to speak to us, so let's get straight to the word. Let's open the word. Father, we open our hearts to hear you, to know that you have something for us to learn today. Help us to hear what you have for us to hear. God, it's one thing for us to think about someone else that needs to be here listening to this, but it's another thing for us to remind ourselves during this time. This is for me. This is for each of us. Challenge us, speak to us, bring hope, peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing our series on the God of the Old Testament, and today we're actually going to be looking at something that God expects of us as far as how we view ourselves. We've been talking about who He is, understanding who He is and what He's like. But today we're going to talk a little bit more about who we are. And the topic is, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. And we're going to talk about that from a completely different perspective than the guy that actually coined the phrase, Thomas Gray, back in the mid-1700s. He actually said it this way, ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. We're going to be taking it a little bit different direction than what, because it's often misquoted. We think ignorance is bliss, but we're going to talk about that today. In that perspective, he was actually talking about how ignorance is not bliss, and that's how we quote him. I remember the first time I saw this phrase. It was at a library, my school library, in middle school, and there was a cat poster. I wish now that I can, man, you totally messed me up, Christian. You look great, man. Shave it clean. This is a day of distractions for me. I could not wait to get that juice down earlier because I knew. But we made it through, okay? Quit distracting me, would you? All right, so the first time I ever saw that was a cat poster in the library. I wish I could remember what the cat was doing, but it said, ignorance is bliss. And I thought about it at that time. What does that mean? And I was probably in eighth or ninth grade, but I remember that poster thinking, what does that mean? Why would anybody be happy being ignorant? But as I grew to maturity, I began to understand there is ignorance, there is bliss in being ignorant. The more that you know, the more responsibility you have. The more that you have, the more responsibility you have. The more that you're aware, the more you have to beware. It's like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, what happened? They gained the knowledge of good and evil. Before that, they were ignorant of good and evil, and they were blissful. Some of you, you look back on your life and you think, man, some of the things I experienced, I wish I had not experienced those things. I wish I had not participated in those things. I wish that I was blissfully unaware of that kind of life. Knowledge is like a key. Having a key to bad places is the kind of knowledge that we're talking about avoiding. Having the knowledge, the key to the bad things, the bad places, the bad thoughts, the negative side of life. That's the kind of knowledge we want to avoid. And in that respect, ignorance is bliss. If you have a key, you're responsible for whatever it opens, aren't you? If you're missing your remote control and I have a key to your house, you're going to be calling me looking for the remote control because you know I have a key to your house. Did John come and take it? Yeah. Now, some keys are necessary and good. You have to have a key to your house. You have to have a key to your car. You have to have a key to your kids' bedroom. There wasn't enough support for that. You have to have a key to your kids' bedrooms. But some people want a master key to life. They want a master key to open up everything. What am I saying? They want a key to open up and listen to everything everybody is saying and know what everyone else is doing. And let me tell you this, ignorance is bliss. You don't need to know all of that. That's more information than you need to have. That's more information than you can actually handle. I'm not encouraging you to not learn or to go stagnant in life. I'm talking about the negative stuff, the stuff that actually is too much for you. It's weighing you down and it's keeping you from your purpose in life. Many things you're better off not knowing. You don't have to know everything about everybody. You don't even have to know everything about your spouse. Should have been a little bit more spoiled for that one, too. When I was young, I wanted to know everything about everyone. I wanted to know what people were doing. I wanted to understand life. And I didn't see it from this perspective, but looking back, it was definitely what it was. You know, there's always gossip in an office. I'm going to be working in an office. There's always gossip in that office. Did you know that there's actually gossip in church offices? And I can remember looking back that if someone had done something wrong, I wanted to know the details. I wanted to know what it was about. Some of it was to keep me from making the same mistake. Some of it was also about making me feel better about myself. I know y'all don't do that, but I have. I participated in that before long ago. Some of it was so that I could actually feel like maybe I could help this person. And if I'm in the know, maybe I could reach out to them. Maybe I could find a way to let them know that I can help them without them knowing that I actually learned about it through gossip. You know, it's just a downward pit from there. And after a while, I began to realize that all that negative stuff, all of that information that I did not need to know was beginning to weigh me down. It was getting into my spirit. And I didn't need to know these things about these people. I was carrying a weight that God never intended for me to carry. I was carrying people's burdens that God never intended for me to carry. Carrying someone else's burden that they should be carrying themselves. I started closing my office door. And then people were talking about me. And that's okay. I wasn't weighed down with all of the stuff that I didn't need to be hearing. I learned that the less that I knew, the more blissful I was. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Now, we've been talking about embracing the responsibility, the burden that comes with God's blessing. God blesses you with this, there's a burden that comes with it. God gives you this, there's responsibility that comes with it. God gives you a home, there's responsibility. God gives you a family, there's responsibility. God gives you a job, there's responsibility. And we have to remember that unless we embrace both of those parts, the blessing without the responsibility is not good because you're not going to be able to keep it and maintain it and do your part. So we've been talking about that. When you're blessed with these things, you've got to recognize the importance of taking care of that burden and responsibility. And what I'm saying today is this. You need to be careful that you're not embracing someone else's burden, someone else's responsibility. Your husband's life with God is his responsibility. Your wife's relationship with God is her responsibility. You can't take that burden on yourself. Your children's life with God is their responsibility. After they get to a certain age, you got to cut the cord. And let them embrace that relationship. Don't carry the weight that others are responsible to carry. God's given them a husband or wife. You can't carry that burden about what's going on in their relationship. Oh, but it's fun to talk about. No, it's extra weight on your life that you don't need to carry. If God gave someone else children, you don't need to know all the details of what's messing up in their lives and the things that they're doing, the things that they're participating in life. You don't need to worry about that. That's extra burden that you were not meant to carry. Matthew wrote one of the sermons that Jesus preached. Incidentally, Jesus preached a really long sermon, and I think somebody was playing football that day, too. And they stuck around to listen to it. So it's one of those sermons was called the Sermon on the Mount. Really long sermon. And Jesus was talking about carrying too much emotional baggage in this sermon. He says, don't put your emotions towards your possessions because they're going to rot away or rust away. He says, if you do that, you're going to lose them anyway. And if it's a really nice possession, guess what? Someone's probably going to steal it. A That's what Jesus said. So don't put your emotions into that. He was talking about also not being careful of where you put your eyes, what you let into your eyes. He said, the good things of life are like light to the inside of you. The bad things of life are like darkness that comes inside of you. It might look like it's light, but it's actually darkness. And you're going to end up depressed. He said, so be careful. Don't carry around this emotional baggage. Pay attention to what you allow into your eyes. And then he talks about not having a love for money. He says, don't put your affection on your money. He goes so far to say is, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. He says, these things, and look what, this is so important. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father knows all of your needs. He says, don't let your emotions get worn down on all these things that you cannot control. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows the real important things in your life. God wants you to be doing other things than worrying about all of these things. And then he says this, today's trouble is enough for today. He says, don't be worried about tomorrow. Don't let your emotions get involved. Don't carry this heavy weight that you were never meant to carry around. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. That's beautiful. Jesus was saying, don't let worry dominate your thoughts. What did he say then? Unbelievers do that. That's how unbelievers think. That's how unbelievers dwell on the negative. Unbelievers don't have God watching out for them, but you do. Thank you, Sharon. Just say it louder. Isn't that awesome? You do. And if Jesus said we shouldn't worry about our own lives, then what makes us think it's healthy and profitable for us to take on the worries of others? If he says don't worry about your life, why should we take on the worries of others? Baggage. Emotional weight. Now listen, we are to be there to cry with them when they cry. We're there to be with them and to laugh with them when they laugh. We are there to bear one another's burdens. But you're not assigned to everybody's burdens. Not every burden is to be yours. But when we're involved in so many other things, we're taking on all these burdens that we're not supposed to be carrying. That's a problem. So the scriptures do say carry one another's burdens. But you're not assigned to everyone's burdens. Knowing too much about too many will cause you to not be able to carry your own burdens. Then we're all in trouble. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be strong. Why? So that you can carry the burdens that you're assigned to carry. But you're not assigned everybody's burdens. That's why we need a church family. That's why we need to work together, to walk together. And together we get it done in each other's lives. Plus, it's not always healthy for them for you to carry their burdens. It's good for each of us to bear our own responsibilities and that come with our own blessings. And if I'm carrying your burden, then I'm keeping you from doing your responsibility that comes with your blessing. If you want a dog, don't expect me to come take care of your dog. You get the blessing, I'm not going to take care of the responsibility. Is that a deal? You get a car, you get a brand new truck, don't expect me to come wash your truck. Nice Chevy. Beautiful. If you have teeth, you brush your own teeth. I'm not going to come brush your teeth for you. You still have hair, you got to comb your hair. I'm not going to do it for you. You don't want me to. It will come out really funny. If you have people in your life that are bearing responsibility, that is your responsibility, you need to stop them from doing that. Because you're missing out on the responsibility that comes with your blessing. Your marriage is your responsibility. And that's where you get blessed in that relationship. So first, don't carry the weight that others are responsible to carry. But also, secondly, don't carry the burden of what others think about you. none of your business what others think about you. This is where we're really going to head today. It's highly important to plug your ears to the noise of those who don't love you. Those who are jealous of you, plug your ears. Ignorance is bliss. You don't need to know what they say. You don't need to understand why they think that. Plug your ears. Ignorance is bliss. Like Jesus said, these things will dominate your thoughts and it will cause you to worry. It will strap your emotions. And God knows that you need a clear mind to do His purpose for your life. And if you're wrapped up with all of these emotions and hurt and feelings about what people think about you, about things that have been said about you through the years, you're not going to be clear-headed and clear-minded to begin to do what God has called you to do in your life. So today we begin the journey of Joseph. We've gone through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're working our way through Genesis right now. So we're going to start working on Joseph today. Joseph was the son of Rachel, Jacob's lovely wife, the one that he loved most. And Rachel had died when she was giving birth to Jacob's son, Benjamin. And now Jacob is living in the land of Canaan, the promised land, with all of his sons. And at this time, Joseph is 17, and Benjamin is probably around 10 years old. And the other sons are grown men, they're grown adults. And Joseph knew way too much about what his brothers were doing. Joseph was way too involved in everything that his brothers were doing. He knew all the stuff that was wrong. And altogether, there were 12 brothers. And these made up the 12 tribes of Israel. So you understand that. These 10 brothers, though, were ruthless. They were immoral. They needed God in a big way. And Joseph knew everything that was going on in their lives. He knew all the gossip. He knew who was sleeping with whose wife. And he knew who was getting drunk. He knew who was fighting. These were bad guys. And they ended up being the 12 tribes of Israel. He knew all of this stuff that was going on, and the scripture says he was always telling his father all sorts of bad things about his brother. He would come home with all of this emotional baggage that he just dumped on his father, Jacob, but Jacob didn't care about it. And here's the reality. God had far better things in store for Joseph than him spending his life knowing just everything that his brothers were doing. All the stuff that his brothers were involved in. His life was far bigger than that from God's perspective. Joseph didn't have the power or the authority to fix any of this, to do anything about it. And apparently his father was too old and he didn't care about it. He just let it slide. Since Rachel had died, the only thing that mattered to Jacob was these two sons, especially Joseph. You see, Joseph was the son that they had prayed for many years. She had been barren, and finally the Lord gave them a child. And he got to raise that son for many years with his lovely wife, Rachel. That was the son that he got to raise with her. And she died actually giving birth to Benjamin, so his affection was still naturally just on Joseph. Well, Jacob made an ornate robe for Joseph. Y'all have heard the term, the robe of many colors. Joseph's robe of many colors. They've even done some Broadway stuff on it. I can't imagine what that looked like. Probably. I don't know if I remember. It's amazing. It's only for the mature, right? You're welcome. Since Rachel had died, the only thing that mattered to him was Joseph, pretty much. And he made this coat, and you've heard it said that Joseph had this coat, and the coat of many colors was his blessing, but it came with a burden. The coat of many colors came with a burden. It was his blessing, but it came with a burden. Every time he wore that, his brothers, what did they say? You can imagine, oh, there he is. Look at him in his little sissy coat. Look at the pretty coat. Look, there he is. And it says, when his brothers saw their father love him more than any of them, they hated him, could not speak a kind word to him. Imagine living in that household. Imagine being the brother that every time, especially, you wore that coat, the brothers didn't even want to say anything to you. They did mean, ugly, nasty. Joseph, being immature, only 17, had a choice to make. Would he listen to the voices of those who loved him, or the voices of his brothers? When you were 17, and you had those kind of voices speaking to you, it'd be hard to not listen to those voices only. But you see, it wasn't just the voices of his brothers that were speaking. God started talking to him. God began to give him dreams. And in his dreams, God told him his family would one day bow down to him. Joseph started telling his brothers about these dreams, and they started listening to him and laughing. His brothers started jeering and mocking at him. They said, "Do you intend to reign over us? Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. His dream is what God said to him. And they hated it. So not only does he have the favor of his father, but now he's got dreams from God. And even his father was frustrated with him. He got frustrated. He said, "Joseph, what's wrong with you? Why would you say this? Certainly God is not giving you these dreams." Well, Jacob was probably just threatened at the possibility that his brothers are going to get so angry about this that he wanted him to shut up and quit talking about it. And it says his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. In other words, his father knew that maybe God was doing something here, because he had been there himself. Another version says, but his father kept wondering about the dream. You see, one of the reasons Joseph was so successful in his relationship with God and throughout life is because he listened to God and he ignored the voices of the people around him. He ignored the voices of the people who were jealous of him. And Joseph wore the coat his father gave him with great pride. He wore it with great pride. It would have been easy for him to take it off, put it in the closet, and say, "Man, that thing causes me too much trouble. I don't need the responsibility that comes with that blessing." But he didn't. See, Joseph believed the dreams God had given him. These weren't just dreams of Joseph being blessed and having a bunch of money. They weren't dreams of him living in a palace with all kinds of cars, exotic food, and women, and whatever he might dream up. Those weren't the kind of dreams we're talking about. These were dreams of responsibility, dreams where he would actually have to lead his family one day, dreams where he would actually have his family bowing to him, but not in a way that they were worshiping him, but in a way of responsibility that he needed to embrace. And he was willing to embrace that responsibility, much like his father Jacob. Joseph could have let the things his brother thought about him weigh him down. They could have been things that just kept him from doing anything right. They could have just made him hurt and angry. But instead, he did not listen to them. He embraced the things that God had to say about him. He just kept playing the dreams that God had put in his mind over and over, and knowing and believing, this is where I'm headed. This is what my future is. Knowing that God was going to raise him up. You need to know that the more important you become in people's lives, the more that they're going to come after you. The better you are at your job, the more jealous people are going to be of you. And what they think about you, their words are going to weigh you down if you let them. But you've got to listen and believe what God has said about you. You've got to know that God has greater things in store for you than those people could ever imagine. They're going to try to keep you down. They're going to try to keep you in your place, put you in your place, and say things to give emotional baggage to you to keep you down. And God forbid this happens in your own home, but sometimes it does. You've got to keep listening to what God says about who you are and not who they say you are. If all you're thinking about is what you think others are thinking about, you'll never get any traction towards your purpose in life. You've got to let other people be free to think whatever they want to think about you and about the people in your life, about your church. That's their responsibility to God. If people want to believe lies about you or about your church or about your family, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is what goes on between your two ears. And it's about that far is all it can go. The other day, I was trying to get to an appointment. And if you've ever been on 377 headed north, as you approach 35, lately there's a lot of construction, and it's just horrible. Well, I was trying to get to an appointment, and I was already late. And I'm sitting there in this traffic, and I thought, okay, surely I can do something. I've got technology at my fingertips. I can get anywhere I want to go, right? Start looking on the map, and I'm sitting in back of traffic, and I can't find where I need to turn in. If I go back here, I can head north into this neighborhood, I can get over there, and then I can come back out, loop around or something. I can do this. So I cut a U-ing real quick, and I went back, and I got in this neighborhood. And what I did not know was there's train tracks that run across there, and there was no crossing those tracks anywhere inside that neighborhood. So I drove through that neighborhood for about 15 minutes trying to find my way. You know what? After 15 minutes, I'm sitting back at the exact same spot I was 15 minutes ago, and I decided I have to wait. Not decided, I was forced to wait. There was no other way around that situation. Well, fast forward a few days later, and I'm sitting at 288 and 35, and I'm in the left-hand turn lane, going to head south on 35. And so backed up, you know, same thing, just a lot of traffic. Only this time, I was listening to somebody preaching. And my mind was so engaged in that, and I was so excited about what was being said, before I knew it, I was on the highway. I was not thinking about all the people cutting in up in front. I was not thinking about all the people that weren't paying attention and missed the light an extra time that should have been paying attention if they would have already been through. I wasn't thinking about any of that. I was sitting there just relaxed, enjoying the moment. Next thing I know, I'm on 35. Some people think too much. This is how Joseph lived his life. And as we go through this story, you're going to see where Joseph just didn't think enough, and it was blissful. He wasn't paying attention to what everyone else was getting, what everyone else was doing. He was doing his part. He was listening to the music in his head of what God had said, the dreams that he'd given through the years. He was talking in his relationship with God. That's what he was focused on throughout his life. Some people are just paying way too much attention in life. Joseph kept his focus on what God had for him and not what everyone else was saying. He just let it go right past him. Ignorance is bliss. And we've got to quit paying attention so much to too many things. Some are watching what everyone else is getting in life and frustrated. That person gets promoted. Wait a second, I've worked here for 10 years. Why does that person get promoted and I'm not? You've got to know and believe what God has said about you so much that you can be grateful when good things happen to other people. I've been fishing with my dad at Ray Roberts for many years, always trying to get the big fish. And my brother came to visit my parents for the first time after many years of dissension that he had caused between his wife and my parents and himself. And he had come to visit my parents, and I actually had to be out of town. It was Lovell KC Week. He took the kids up to Oklahoma City. And so my dad and my brother are here, and they're fishing. I'm up there with the kids, and we're having a great time doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And we at the time had an 11-year-old van. Don't remember an old purple van. And I had replaced some hoses and stuff on it, and one of those hoses came off while I'm on the road. Fortunately, I didn't have kids with me at the time. And I had antifreeze all over the road, broke down, frustrated, and didn't know what to do. Fortunately, one of the pastors up there helped me out. But while I'm on the side of the road, frustrated, my brother is down there fishing with my dad in my fishing spot. And he caught a bass just under 14 pounds that day.
Wow.
In my spot. I've been fishing there for years. That was my fish. Now, truthfully, I could have been angry. I could have been frustrated. God, why did you let this happen? I'm on the side of the road, and I start getting these pictures of this giant fish. There's my dad. And I'm like, why? why am I going through that? I could have been that way. I could have been angry, wondering why God would bless him with such things. But the truth is, I felt grateful. I'm not always this perfect. Understand, right? This is just an illustration. I felt grateful for him. I felt like, oh, this is great. He's had a moment with my dad. Maybe God is blessing him for trying to be there and reestablish the connection. I believe that. I know that catching a big bass isn't God's blessing for my life. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to catch fish.
Amen.
People who don't know what God has called them to and what God has in store for them are all too concerned about other people's business. Did you know that other people's thoughts about you are their business? You can't control them. You can't tell them what to think about you. You can try to manipulate it all you want. It's their business, not yours. You need to be like Joseph wearing his coat. God has blessed you with the robe of righteousness. Wear it. Confidently. In the open. Not worrying about what others are thinking of you. Don't give your time and energy to jealous people. One day, Joseph's father sent him out to check on his brothers. They were grazing the flocks. Joseph seemed to be glad to help. He comes walking up with his coat of many colors. It was interesting because they looked and they jeered at him. Oh, here he comes. Truth is, Joseph was about to face him. Serious danger in his life. He was going to go through a very difficult time. If Joseph was paying attention to what his brothers had said, he would have never gone that way. If he was paying attention to all the fear that was there, he would have never gone and faced that situation. But that's what he needed to go through in order to get him to the place where God would let him run. He needed to go through that situation. You see, Joseph was then sold into slavery to the Egyptians. And that's where God put him up. That's where God raised him up. That's where God blessed him. And eventually his brothers came and bowed him. But if he had been listening to those voices in fear, he would have never gotten to that place. Because he would have never gone out there to see his brothers. God's great purpose for Joseph, the dreams he had been given, were beginning to come together. But only because he only listened to God and what God has to say about him. James David, would you come? What lies that others think about you is none of your business. Ignorance. You don't need to know all the burdens of everyone around you. Ignorance is bliss. You don't need to know what your kids that are grown are out there doing so that you can worry about them. All you got to do is pray for them. Ignorance is bliss. All the bad news of the day, who's wrong, who's right, who got caught? One day Peter spoke against the Father's plans to Jesus, and Jesus rebuked him. What did he say? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." What was he saying? I don't need to hear what you got to say, Peter. It's not true. Better off if I never hear those words. Jesus had the same opposition from his brothers that Joseph had. He had to ignore it, just like Joseph did. Ignorance was bliss. Some of you have voices in your head playing over and over from years past, like recordings. The things people have said that hurt you, things people believed about you that weren't true, when people blew things out of proportion and you were misunderstood. How frustrating, how hurting. Jesus said, I don't want you walking around carrying that weight. What they think about you is none of your business. You listen to what I say about you. I don't want you to listen to anything about your past failures, your sin. I want you to know that I've forgiven you, and I want you to get up and walk from this place and be better, be different, do what I called you to. Because here's who God says you are. God says you're his child. God says you're Jesus's friend. God says you're a new person with a new life in Christ Jesus. God says you're the person where God's Spirit lives within. God says you are forgiven. He says you were created in God's likeness. You are spiritually alive. God says you are a citizen of heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. God says you are God's messenger. He says that you are God's disciple maker. He says you are the salt of the earth. He says you're the light of the world. When have you let your light shine? He says that's who you are. He says you are greatly loved. You're valuable. You're his workmanship. You're his incredible work of art. He says you are my plan and my purpose. That's what you are in God's life. Have you embraced that? Or are you listening to all the voices? It's a new day. New beginnings. Would you bow your head? What are you worried about today? Who are you worried about? Most of your stress, well, let me back up. All of your stress is about things you cannot control. Which means there are things God never gave you jurisdiction over. Those people you're frustrated with, those situations you can't control and you're stressed about, it's out of your jurisdiction. Let it go. Give it up. It's not your responsibility. In fact, you're probably not taking care of your responsibility because you're taking care of that other stuff. It's time to let go of other people's stuff. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you. We can let things go. We don't have jurisdiction over them. Lord, those people that said that, did that, we cannot control them, so we let it go. Today we embrace who you said we are, who you say we are. You're our God. You have great days ahead of us if we'll focus on what you say. Today we turn our lives over to you and say yes and amen to all the promises, to all of the identity that you created in us. Who you say.